Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment and visit our website, www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator, and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, here's today's episode. Let's get started.
My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am once again honored by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. We are broadcasting from our high-tech studio involving my laptop and my Logitech, located in our sumptuous Las Vegas balcony here in the hottest city in America. We are a laptop lifestyle company, which means this is a from-the-field laptop lifestyle podcast. And think about where you are when you have those interactions, those little mastermind conversations, those aha moments that fundamentally transform your business and your life, or give you that little nudge that sharpens the edge, as either way, you center toward your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. You may hear ambient conversations in the background. You may hear birds chirping. You may hear a vehicle going by. Like you may hear right now, depending on how good my noise cancellation is going. There is a street about a quarter mile away outside the community where I live. At any rate, we go where these things happen. And we meet some of the most interesting people. One of them is the gentleman you're going to meet in just a moment. As entrepreneurs, as business creators, sometimes we have the idea of the hustle glorified. And as I've said in my podcast Reach curriculum, I'm not a hustler. In fact, I'm lazy. Why burn yourself out? I've done that. And you know what it got me? It got me to a place where I looked into the future and all I saw was a blank screen. It led to me spending 3 years wondering what I really wanted to be when I grew up. Isn't there a better way? I agree there's a better way. And it's about mind-body mastery. So let me introduce you to Dane Dormio. He is a martial scientist and mind-body mastery mentor. He has a bachelor's degree in math and physics, a black belt in Kung Fu Sansu, and a master's certificate in 18 Loan Palms. I am so sorry. I do not know how to pronounce it. It's Qigong. So my first question will be, how do you pronounce that properly? So he's gone through a process. He's going to tell you about himself in just a second, but I'll just share right now that part of the reason that we want to have Dane here is because he works with ambitious professionals and aspiring high performers such as yourself to develop self-discipline, optimize your mind-body energy system, and actualize their full potential. So Dane Dormio, come on in, the weather's fine. And how was I supposed to pronounce that word?
Thanks, Adam, for that great introduction. It's Qigong is how you say it. It's a romanization of a Chinese word. So yeah, it's spelled kind of funny.
Yeah, well, it was a real tongue twister for me, and I've seen it around. I myself am not a martial artist, so some of the nuances I miss. And if you folks listening love that bio, wait till you see this next part. What we do here at the Business Creators Radio Show is, first I'll read off the guest's official bio or some portion of it. And once again, I find myself in a situation where I'm not sure I'm worthy to be here, and this is my show. Our first thing that we do before we get into some of the topics for today is, Dane, tell us a bit in your own words about your journey and what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
Well, Adam, the work that I do now, I've been led to do through a series of spiritual awakenings where the universe has revealed my path to me.
Right. Okay.
And so I'm not sure where exactly you want me to go from there, because I could definitely go in a lot of different directions.
A direction that makes sense to you. Sometimes we hear about transformative moments. Sometimes we hear the narrative of the progression journey. Sometimes we hear about the worst day of your life and how it turned out the silver lining was precious.
Okay, well, thanks for that permission. I actually want to go in a direction, something that just came to me just before coming on this show. Actually, I was contemplating, and I had this new awareness of and perspective on the Tao Te Ching and the fundamental message of it being that paradox is the nature of reality.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that essentially everything that exists as one of a pair of opposites. So everything has its opposite quality. And one of those many dualities is internal and external. Everything has an internal and an external. Everything that is a thing has an inside and an outside. That's the internal, the external, and duality. And there's just for some examples, there's internal and external martial arts.
Yeah.
There's the internal and external aspects to the human being. That means both physically we have an inside and an outside, and psychologically as well. There's a model of the self that's visible to others and hidden to us, and there's the part of ourself that's hidden to others and visible to us, and there's the part of ourself that is visible to others and visible to us, and the part that's invisible to others and visible to us. So there's also the visible, the invisible, the inside, the outside, the seen, the unseen. And there's also an internal and an external aspect or path to mind-body mastery.
Okay.
And I think it will actually be really helpful for our listeners to have this distinction, because it's a very powerful distinction, and it applies to how to lead an optimized, balanced life, how to lead a maximally fulfilled, maximally realized, maximally actualized life. There's the internal path of mind-body mastery has to do with regulating body, breath, and mind together to manage state moment to moment. Because state is the basis of everything. It's the basis of performance. It's the basis of mood. It's the basis of happiness and fulfillment, and our whole experience of life is based on, is mediated through our state.
Yeah.
And we have the innate levers, the endogenous capacities of regulating body, breath, and mind to regulate and manage our state moment to moment. That's the internal path of mind-body mastery. And the external aspect of mind-body mastery has to do with information and action management. It has to do with managing the flow of information and action decisions through our lives, because just like as biological organisms, we exist as a flow of energy. As conscious organisms, we also exist as a flow of information. And in the accelerating world that we live in, there is more and more and more information in our environment. There's a greater rate of flow of information through our lives and action decisions needed to be made. And I'm just talking about being a fully functioning adult modern digital citizen. If we're talking about being an entrepreneur and actually designing and building systems for yourself and others to work in order to be economically productive, that's even another dimension of information and action decisions to be made. So the external path is what I call information action management. The technical term is executive functioning, okay. Or I like to call it the fine art of deciding what to do and then doing it, which relies on having reliable and trusted systems outside of your head so that you can use your brain for having ideas instead of holding on to them. That's what I call a distributed cognition ecosystem, basically the network of tools and systems and processes that you use to support your own natural thought and creative process and or to design systems that can be delegated and scaled as a business. So the internal path of state management and the external path of information and action management are mutually supporting and reliant on one another. It's not about one or the other. It's about integrating both together.
Right. Now, is this something that requires a martial art to accomplish, or can it be done through other means as well?
That is a great question, because when I talk about martial arts and mind-body mastery, and really what I teach people to do is how to apply the philosophy and principles of martial arts to develop self-discipline and self-mastery in any area of life. And this does not require being a martial artist, of course. But it's about, because one thing you can say about pretty much all martial artists, or at least in general, is martial artists, they take what they do very seriously. Because at its core, at the root of it, martial arts are, at least in the historical context, and still today in a self-defense, personal protection context, a matter of self-preservation, of literally of life and death.
Right. Are we talking about fight or flight and those types of things? I'm just trying to disambiguate as much as possible.
Well, I'm talking about the essence of martial arts. It's about self-protection. Uh-huh. Which is ultimately about life or death. So martial artists take what they do very seriously and are known for developing a high level of self-discipline.
Yeah.
And so if you can take those principles and apply them to whatever field, you don't have to be a martial artist to do that. You don't have to break bricks with your hands or kick above your head or do anything like that. But the reason I know that just to tangent a little bit here into my own life experience, I had the good fortune to get into martial arts when I basically started doing martial arts when I was a kid and never really stopped. And I know from having been a kid myself and taught and worked with a lot of kids, played with a lot of kids, that pretty much all kids, most kids, are interested in martial arts at some time, if it's presented to them in the right way. And many people, even as adults, some kids that is nurtured and encouraged and supported, and others it's not. But the underlying passion stays there into adulthood. And so I've met lots of adults who have said, "Oh, you know, I've always wanted to get into martial arts, but I never have," And so to answer, to get back to the question you asked, No, you don't have to be a martial artist in order to apply the philosophy and principles of martial arts to develop concentration and focus and self-discipline and self-awareness in your own life. But if you have a passion for martial arts, if you're a secret martial artist, if you're like secretly a Ninja Turtle at heart and always have been like me, then this is essentially you can take that passion and focus it into developing self-discipline and self-awareness in any area that you would like to develop yourself.
Yeah. So when it comes to reducing stress, and that is something that we do deal a lot of, what would you have to say for any strategies to assist us in that?
That's also an excellent question, Adam, because number one, stress is, along with the rate of flow of information and action decisions being on the rise, that precipitates a rise in stress for all of us. And that is a big deal, both individually and collectively, because name one single health condition that is not adversely affected by stress. Go ahead, I'll wait.
You'll be waiting forever.
Right. Any health condition is exacerbated by stress. Any negative health condition is exacerbated, is either caused or influenced or exacerbated by stress. The body's regenerative and protective capacity is diminished by stress. Our mood, our emotional well-being, our ability to perform and to create and to be focused and productive and to have an impact in the world are all diminished. The more that we are negatively affected by stress. So it's a great question, because this is a huge thing in the modern world that affects all of us. And by all of us, I mean all of us, but especially entrepreneurs, business creators of all types. And this question kind of is the holy grail. And it actually, I'll bring it back to the internal, the external aspects that I was just talking about. There's the internal approach to reducing stress, which is to use things like exercise and breath work and meditation and different kinds of mind-body practices to increase your resilience and your capacity to handle and perform under stress. That's the internal path. The external path of stress reduction is to solve the problems that are causing you stress and put systems in place to ensure that they remain solved. Voila, no more stress. So it's not a matter of either or which one. It's a matter of both being necessary and mutually supportive, because the internal approach of mind-body practices, exercise, breathwork, meditation, well, this requires structure and stability, consistency, i.e. habits, because mind-body practices are great, but they won't do any good unless you actually practice them consistently. And also, no matter how good your state management skills are, if your executive functioning skills, your long-term planning and decision-making skills aren't up to par, your state management skills will eventually be taxed to the limit. No matter, I mean, I don't care if you're a yogi or a Zen master or whatever. And on the other hand, the external approach of systems and and processes and habits, well, that depends on your ability to direct your energy, focus, and attention, because you can have the best systems and the best plans in place, but if you don't actually follow them, if you don't actually work the system, then it doesn't do you any good. And at the same time, the most important component of any system, and I'm speaking now particularly to entrepreneurs, the most important component of any system is you, at least until you get yourself completely designed out. And of course, you'll always be the bottleneck until you get yourself completely designed yeah. and out of the system. But the most important component of the system is you. The basis of your success is you, your physical, mental, emotional, spiritual health, wellness, longevity. So taking care of your own well-being, nurturing your soul and your being first and foremost is key to both short-term and long-term success. Being able to not just get somewhere in your business, reach some particular milestone, but being able to create a lifestyle that sustains you and fulfills you, and that you are able to sustain and grow over the long term.
Yeah, apps. I totally get that. Now, is the ability to have self-discipline something that's always been natural to you, or is that something that you either found or developed along the way?
Oh, man. If only you knew, Adam.
All right.
Where are you coming up with these questions, man? I swear you're a genius with these questions.
I don't know about a genius. I'm just a guy with a face for radio.
So I actually had a negative relationship with the whole concept of discipline for the longest time. And when you think about it, a lot of us do, because going back to when you're a kid, and the way most of us were conditioned growing up is discipline. What does that mean? When you get disciplined as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that? What does that mean?
Disciplined, it has a very negative connotation.
It means you're getting a whooping, right?
Yeah.
It means punishment. It means, depending uh-huh. on where and when and who, it might have been the switch or the paddle uh-huh. or the belt or the hand, or it might have just been, sit in the corner, or it might have been go to your room. It's, discipline is punishment.
Right.
or in school, go to the principal's office. So our first exposure to discipline is basically synonymous with punishment. Nobody likes the idea of punishment. That's the whole idea of punishment. And so, of course, we have a negative relationship, a negative emotional relationship with the idea of discipline, as this negative psychoenergetic quality to it. And then with self-discipline, that means self-punishment. That means when there's nobody around to punish you, you have to do it to yourself, basically.
Yeah. See, you know what? I'm glad I brought this up, because I've understood this at a certain level, but I haven't quite had the vocabulary around it.
Well, man,
the way you're giving me is, when we talk about self-discipline, it's like I'm having an aha moment of my own. No wonder it's such a challenge for people. There's the connotation of discipline being a negative from the very beginning, and the idea of self-discipline as an adult, as an entrepreneur, as somebody in a job, as somebody doing sports or martial arts or what have you, self-discipline. So what, you're going to beat yourself up? Because that's what I'm getting right now.
Yeah, yeah, really. Yeah, really, man. This is really pre-cognitive or pre-verbal programming. This is why, you know, like this is on it, like on a deep level, we're programmed with this. And like you said, a lot of people, I think, realize, oh yeah, I have, you know, this was programmed in there. It wasn't even, not even on the verbal level, but on like the pre-verbal level. And we have this connotation of discipline as punishment, self-discipline as self-punishment. And we learn with punishment, one thing we learned is, you know, punishment means if you do something wrong, you have to punish yourself. And if there's nobody around to punish you, then if you do something wrong, you deserve to be punished. If there's nobody around to punish you, you have to punish yourself.
Really? I mean, you deserve to be punished? Well, if I do something wrong.
No. I'm not saying this is true. This is the programming that we receive from an early age.
Oh, I get that. That's why I'm bringing up just because you did something quote unquote wrong. I'm going to use air quotes here for a reason, because I mean, there are some things that you certainly should not do that are certainly bad, that are certainly deleterious. However, wrong in some cases is actually subjective. And maybe I don't need to punish for it.
Ultimately, there's cause and effect, aka the law of karma. There's cause and effect, there's action, there's consequences. But the point I'm getting at is that we're programmed from an early age that if we mess up, we make a mistake, we deserve to be punished. And if there's nobody around to punish us, then we have to punish ourselves. And that's a big part of the reason why people have self-esteem issues well into adulthood and are driven by different kind of drives to receive recognition in one form or another, because to avoid punishment. And if we feel like we've made a mistake, then we tend to guilt ourselves, shame ourselves, beat ourselves up because of this very early programming around punishment. And so punishment and discipline, that's the first link. And so most people's definition of self-discipline, if you ask them, what does self-discipline mean? It would be something like forcing yourself to do something you don't want to do. And if that's your definition of self-discipline, obviously that's not a warm, fuzzy feeling either. That's like, you know, it's something you don't want to do, but you force yourself. And when I recognized this, I had, like I said before, I had a negative relationship with the idea of discipline, and especially self-discipline, for the longest time, until I realized, oh, actually, this is not a good definition. And I came across a better set of definitions, which actually, that one that I just said, forcing yourself to do something you don't want to do, that's actually a good functional definition of willpower, which is the mental energy exerted to overcome internal or external resistance. And it draws upon the same mental energy reserves that is used by critical thinking, decision making, short-term memory, and empathy. So the more energy you draw on for willpower or for any one of these functions, the less energy you have available for the others. And this is a source of decision fatigue, which is a psychological phenomenon that's been studied. But point being, that is a good definition for willpower, forcing yourself to do something you don't want to do. And discipline is actually the opposite of that. Discipline and self-discipline in particular, this is the definition that I now subscribe to, is the state of internal and external alignment, where what feels good to you and what you feel like doing and what you have consciously decided is in your highest and best interest are one and the same. So willpower says, I don't feel like eating my vegetables, but I'm going to do it anyway. Discipline says, I love me some vegetables. Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah. So I'm picking up a combination of changing a view and changing language around that view here.
Well, when with regards to the concept of self-discipline, yeah, if you can relate to self-discipline as something that actually feels good, like when you get a taste of it and you realize how good it feels, it's actually very empowering and even can be addictive in a good way, in the sense that it can pull you forward in a virtuous cycle. But recognizing that self-discipline doesn't mean self-torture. It's, in fact, it's the opposite. It's where, like, you have your morning jog that you like to go for, whatever it is you want to do, and you look forward to it. You get up and you put on your shoes or do whatever you do to get ready, and then you go for your jog and you enjoy the scenery, you enjoy the feeling of taking your body out for a run, and you come back and you enjoy the feeling of circulation, and then you go on to the next thing in your day and you feel good about that. It actually feels good to have self-discipline, to develop self-discipline, and it's self-sustaining. So recognizing that self-discipline feels good, and the key to self-discipline is actually minimizing willpower, which means willpower, as I said, is energy exerted to overcome, energy expended to overcome internal and external resistance to a behavior. So whatever the behavior is you want to do, whether it has something like exercise or diet or taking cold showers or whether it's around sales calls or writing or whatever it is, recognizing the sources of internal and external resistance. Internal resistance is essentially limiting beliefs or negative. Essentially, I compare beliefs to like apps on a computer, on a device. The brain is a computer. Beliefs are like apps, and some of them are like malware. So removing and identifying limiting beliefs around that thing, so that you instead of internal resistance, essentially is part of you wants to do this thing and part of you doesn't, and a lot of heat is burned up with just the internal resistance and forcing yourself. But if you bring all of these sub-personalities into consensus, as I call it, then you either 100% want to do this thing, or you 100% don't want to do this thing and you want to do something else instead. But either way, you're completely in alignment internally. So creating that internal alignment and consensus is how you remove the internal friction. And the external friction has to do with your personal systems and your physical space. Personal systems being what I referred to earlier as the distributed cognition ecosystem, your network of tools and systems and processes for managing the flow of information and action decisions, so that you can keep your ideas, keep the information and action reminders and everything that's relevant in a trusted system outside your head, so you can use your brain for having ideas instead of holding on to them. So creating those kind of systems for yourself, creating personal systems, creating business systems. You don't have to keep it all in your head. And that's the personal systems in the physical space is the physical environment and physical cues. Like, for example, if you are working, if you do a lot of work at your desk, at your using your laptop, you know, how ergonomic is your setup, your desk, your chair? Are you in a good position?
Oh, that's a big one. One of my personal issues is I'm too sedentary. And I discovered a year ago that I was exacerbating it by not having a desk that was the proper height for my posture.
Right. You know, Adam, sitting is the new smoking, right?
Everything's the new smoking. That's why I took up cigars. But anyway.
But no. There were studies that came out that sitting for 8 hours a day is the same mortality risk as being a pack a day cigarette smoker.
I'm joshing with you. I knew exactly what you meant.
Good. Yeah. For entrepreneurs, especially, you know, living that laptop lifestyle, it's, you know, it's one thing, you know, I wrote a post about this on Facebook one time that, you know, everybody's talking about working from the beach, but, you know, like, okay, A, there's sand, B, there's wind, C, there's salt spray, D, there's fucking seagulls, you know, like, if you know seagulls, like, give me a nice office to work from and I'll, you know, go to the beach when I want to be off my laptop. But, and the same thing with a pool, you know, it's, there's, you know, there's the idea of a laptop lifestyle that is kind of sold, but when it gets right down to it, if you're spending time in whatever environment, it's behind the wheel of your car, or if it's in at a desk, that needs to be a space. It needs to be a space that's conducive to physical health, just like while you're sitting there. B, you need to take regular breaks and get up and, you know, like 5 minutes out of 60 or so, get up and walk around and do stuff. But you know, that has a lot to do with how effectively you're able to work and focus. And it also has to do with the problem of being sedentary, which I know you're not alone in this, Adam. I know a lot of people have this problem, and like, this was true 2 years ago, you know, this stress and sedentary and sitting too much and blah, blah, blah was a big deal. But there is this thing that came along, you might've heard of it, COVID. And all of this stuff that we've been saying all along is about reducing stress and self-care, and it's even more important. So in terms of physical space, yeah, like most people, and this is a factor that most just typical Americans are not used to accounting for, is space to move your body. When we think of working out, what do people usually think of? Where do you work out? The gym. That's like equivalent, right? People say, oh, I'm going to start going to the gym. They don't say, I'm going to start exercising. They say, I'm going to start going to the gym, right? Because you have to go to the gym to work out, because in most American homes and offices, there's no physical space that's appropriate for moving your body. You know, the typical house that you go in and you've got the TV shrine, AKA the quote unquote living room. And then, you know, you have a dining room and whatever, but very few people even have, just if you were just going to get up and stretch out and move your body fully, do you even have space to do that in your bedroom or your living room or somewhere in your home office or wherever your office is? Because if you think about, you know, like if you had an animal, like a pet rat or a guinea pig or whatever, and it was like in a space where it was confined and couldn't move fully and couldn't move around, obviously that would be unhealthy, right?
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that to yourself?
Wow, that's another way of thinking of this that is, again, has been right there in front of me all along, but it's just different vocabulary than I've used or articulated before. Yeah, and it reminds me of they had these elephants in circuses. They were used to being chained up their entire lives. And as adults, they could be held in place by a thin chain with just a very small peg put in the ground, because the elephant didn't know that all they had to do was tug on it and they could walk free.
Well, it's true that if you are, if you establish the pattern of being sedentary, like Newton's first law, body in motion tends to remain in motion, a body at rest tends to remain at rest. But also, we started off talking about how physical space influences the influence of internal alignment, internal resistance coming from limiting beliefs, and external resistance coming from personal systems and physical space. So point being, if your physical space is not conducive to movement, guess what? Expect to be sedentary. If you put that extra barrier in place that in order to move your body, you have to go to the gym, and so then you have to make a huge time investment. So it's got to be 30 or 45 minutes or an hour. You got to be all sweaty and exhausted, and then you come back and eventually you decide it's not even worth it. Versus like you just want to get up and move around for 5 or 15 minutes and move your body, move through your full range of motion, maybe dance a little bit, just like have space that, because when it comes to movement, this is a fundamental physiological need, and much more important than working out intensely a few times a week is several times per day to get up, walk around, and walking around the blocks could be an example, or even a quick jog, or just moving around in your space, just getting up and stretching for 5 minutes or dancing for 5 minutes, several times frequently throughout your day, just like sipping water. That's probably the number one thing that almost all of us could do to immediately improve our quality of life and performance and health, wellness, fitness, longevity, all across the board right there, is just take little sips of movement throughout the day, the same way you would take little sips of water.
Wow. That's really profound. So I appreciate you. Appreciate you definitely taking the time to share that. What I've really enjoyed about this opportunity to speak with you is, more than anything else, the opportunity to learn from you. It's been really educational in ways I wasn't even expecting. In a lot of my work, I've covered how simply changing a word or a phrase can fundamentally alter the meaning of a subject or the trajectory of a process or a pattern. And you've certainly given us a few things to think about. Is our language that has been programmed into us moving us forward, or is it holding us back? I never thought of self-discipline as an inhibitor before that way.
Yeah, this is just one of the tools of the mind body mastery coaching process is belief change. But essentially it's like running a mental virus scan, just like you'd run a virus scan to identify and replace limiting beliefs wherever they may arise, because
right,
you can't just remove a limiting belief, you have to replace it with something that does the opposite, something that's positive and affirming and empowering. And essentially there's a process to just run a mental virus scan to identify exactly where those limiting beliefs are, identify exactly what the perfect belief to replace it with is, and then uninstall, reinstall.
Right. Right. So as we wrap up here, we're near the top of the hour. I do want to just make sure that our listeners are aware of the Mind Body Mastery Blueprint, which is part of what you bring to the table. And I encourage everybody to visit the website. And this is a URL. It's mindbodymastery.academy. You can see it in the notes if you're listening to this episode on our website at Business Creators Radio Show. Otherwise, the URL is https://mindbodymastery.academy. And there you can download the Mind Body Mastery Blueprint. I really encourage you to do that, to take advantage of this opportunity here. And it will give you so much additional information that builds upon some of the things we shared today. What we did in our time here today sort of scratched the surface. And I myself am going to look into it a little bit because I find it very intriguing. You really had me at that whole thing about how self-discipline could be a way of demotivating us. And I can't believe I never thought of that. So you certainly have my attention. Before we wrap up, Dane, do you have any... Let me ask a specific question. Other than going to that website and downloading your blueprints, what is one thing that you would urge our listeners to do as soon as they finish streaming this episode?
Well, if anything I have said has inspired you to, if anything I've said has triggered any of your shoulds, like, oh yeah, that's right, I should be doing that.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to give you a round to it. Consider this your round to it. On okay. Whatever that thing you've been shooting on yourself about is, and approach it from a systems design perspective, as an IE, like a lot of people are shooting on themselves, like, oh, I should start exercising, I should start meditating, I should start doing whatever it is, like, I start writing every day, or whatever it is. Commit to establishing that habit and think about it from a system thinking perspective. What systems do you have to set up in your life, and what steps do you have to take to pave the way to make it, knowing everything that you know about yourself, to make it more likely that the behavior will occur than will not occur?
Okay.
Like if you want to exercise in the morning, then lay out your exercise clothes before you go to bed, so they'll be right there when you wake up. That's just an example of some little thing you can do in your environment that will encourage the behavior, that will make the behavior more likely, and set up enough of those cues and reminders and support elements in your environment to make it more likely that you'll do the behavior than that you won't do the behavior, and that will ensure that you'll be able to maintain it consistently. In other words, don't just make a resolution and say, I'm going to start doing this thing, and then go try to do that thing once and run into a bunch of resistance and go, oh yeah, and then forget about it. Instead, right. Say, I'm going to do this thing, and what do I need to put in place for myself to set myself up for sustainable consistency in this thing? Put those elements in place for yourself, for just one thing, just one habit or one thing you've been inspired to do listening to this. Put those environmental support elements in place for yourself for that thing. So this won't be just another idea or inspiration that fades away, but you'll be able to look back to the day you listen to this podcast episode and say, yeah, that was the day I started doing this thing, and I've been doing it ever since.
That's fantastic. Well, Dame Dormio, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor, and believe me, an education.
Thanks a bunch, Adam.
We trust you enjoyed today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.